Springfield's Talk 1041. And on our new KSGF app, you can find in your marketplace. Quite a few have been downloading it. Got some positive feedback. Love the feedback. Things we could improve on. Things that you like and you want to keep. Try to keep it as streamlined, as simple as absolute possible. If you have a difficult time, I know that there are a number of companies that develop apps that are not related to us that you can access KSGF on, and sometimes they even make it look like it's us because you know, some of you have indicated that. If you go to KSGF.com and the scrolling tiles, you see the one about the new apps and click on that, and it'll give you direct links based on your phone. So you know that you're getting the right one. But ours is very streamlined. It's just, you know, this station. And basically at your fingertips, of course, listen to the station. There is a big button you can push to text, a big button you can push to call, and see our Facebook Live feed if you want. So just keeping it as simple as possible. Let's go ahead and kick some things off here news-wise with Nathaniel Pauly.
Police are investigating a suspicious death that happened Tuesday night. They found it Tuesday night. A woman's body was found on a road in Republic. They were notified by a driver who saw the body on the road. That's going to be near James River Freeway and Farm Road 156 near the Brookline Cemetery. Police do not believe she was hit by a vehicle, and they have closed that road for investigation. Greene County courts will not be holding most jury trials for the time being due to increased COVID-19 cases in Greene County. Despite many adjustments that have been made for jury trials, officials have determined it's not enough. The lack of space in the courtroom necessary to maintain safe practices is a big cause of the temporary hiatus. Only emergency cases will continue to move forward out of necessity. And Missouri lawmakers have returned to the Capitol after several tested positive for the coronavirus. Senators gave the initial thumbs up for a $1.2 billion coronavirus aid package. I'm Nathaniel Pauly, KTTS News. That's all we have.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, slight chance of showers tonight after 5, a high of 52. Showers likely tonight overnight with a low of 34, with a chance of rain and snow before 8 tomorrow, then a chance of rain showers later in the morning, high of 40. And Friday, partly sunny, a high of 45. It's 33 and clear. There, Fisk Properties. You know, we've talked a little bit about Jan Fisk and the apparent cover that she's been given by the people on the city council, by the city of Springfield. She is certainly paying them back. Last week, an attorney for Fisk Properties filed a petition signed by Councilwoman Jan Fisk's husband, asking a judge to find that the city rules governing driveways don't apply to their property. Now, in a nutshell, what has happened here is they bought some land in which they apparently plan to build a house on. And because of where the land is and where it is that they want to create a driveway, the city code doesn't allow it. There are certain city codes that you and I must abide by. City codes that have everything to do with, you know, additions to your home, your grass, it can't get too tall because otherwise you'll get fined by the city. You've got there's just numerous city codes. And oftentimes they're an extreme hindrance, particularly to business owners. I mean, I can't tell you how many business owners I've talked to that have wanted just to pull their hair out, feeling as if the city is actively against them opening the business because of the frustratingly difficult time that they oftentimes have just getting approval to open because, you know, well, we got to have the city come make sure you're up to code here, but it's going to be a few weeks. We got to, you know, and it's just, it is very well known, these codes, to people who have ever had to deal with the city. So they bought this land and they want to build a house on it. They want to build a driveway. Well, the city codes don't allow it. Well, they just don't think that's fair. So they purchased this land in 2015. according to the court filing. And the city, they looked at and they're like, listen, our city code is the city code. Your particular area doesn't meet width requirements, and it doesn't have its nearest edges at least 5 feet away from the property. This is part of why the conflict there that we all have to abide by, but they just don't like it. So the petition argues that the rules shouldn't apply to them since their situation is unique because the shape of the land is unique. Yeah, well, the shape of the land clearly is a shape that does not fall into compliance with the city code when it comes to where it is that they want a driveway. I'm sure lots of people have this problem when the city's like, sorry, you got to be this way, you got to be that way. Well, yeah, this is a unique situation because the backyard of your house butts up against this, or because you got a piece of property over here. Yep, this is something somewhat unique. So the Fisks are arguing that because their situation is unique, well, it shouldn't count. Without a driveway, the filing is asking a judge to force the city, which would be you as the taxpayers, of course, to pay back the fair value of the land, arguing that denying them the ability to build a driveway amounts to the taking of their property. So in other words, they're arguing, well, you should force the taxpayers to to pay us back fair value for this. It sounds like they're trying to unload it now because they're being told you cannot build a driveway on this land. They are also asking a judge to find that the property is exempt from the permit rules that apply to everyone else. Now, the city, for its part, you know, they don't comment on pending litigation, so forth. There's a Newsleader piece that notes that last week's filing is not the first time a family member of Fisk has challenged a city decision while she was on council. Her son has challenged a number of city decisions in Greene County Circuit Court relating to nuisance or dangerous building complaints, and he currently has a case pending from 2018 alleging the city failed to turn over a public record request in a timely manner. It cracks me up. This is a city that clearly, in my assessment, did what they could in order to make an ethics violation go away. And when it first came up, I had accurately predicted that they would just kick this thing down the road until it came time for, you know, where her time on the council would just about run up, and they'd say, well, we've spent enough time on this, and it doesn't make any sense to move forward with it. And that's exactly what they did. And Mayor McCheese even expressed, almost sympathy for what she had been put through. And it was also noted the cost to the taxpayers. As if the real problem here was a concerned citizen that wanted the ethical standards to be applied to Fisk as they were listed out. That ethical complaint regarded the fact that the city charter says a council member shall be removed if, while on council, there are any contracts in which they have direct or indirect financial benefit. And that appeared to happen with her. In fact, she wrote a check for a very specific amount in order to make good on it. Now, where did she get that specific amount? If it wasn't a financial benefit, she said, well, I financially benefited this much, so I'm going to pay it back. Where did that amount come from? So that appears to be an admission of guilt. But the city's position really seemed to be the fact that you got some whiny taxpayer citizen out there that cost the taxpayers all this money because we had to do this investigation. I wonder how much money the Fisks have caused taxpayers with all of these sorts of lawsuits, between the son filing lawsuits, the Fisk filing this lawsuit, wanting the taxpayers to foot the bill to buy this land back, because they don't want the rules to apply to them as they apply to everyone else. Are these individuals, do they not just seem woefully ignorant as to city rules? This isn't something that you check out ahead of time? I mean, ignorance was the essentially, well, there's denial with the ethics violation complaint, but, you know, basically this, I don't think I did anything wrong at all, seemingly totally unfamiliar with the charter. And now they buy this land and seemingly totally and completely unaware of the city code regarding this sort of thing. And because they didn't do their due diligence or were uninformed, or maybe there's no evidence of this, but dare I suggest, this was back in 2015, so that would have been that they bought the land. That would have been well before there was any scrutiny on Councilwoman Fisk for ethics violations. Dare I suggest that maybe, just maybe, they thought, well, they're not going to enforce the rules for me. I mean, we're the Fisks. I'm on the city council. We're not going to have to worry about any stupid city codes that everywhere. We're not regular folks. This doesn't apply to us. Well, now all of a sudden, watchful eye, citizens have concerns about certain members of the council getting special treatment. And so the city may have been like, listen, we don't think we can really let you violate the rules on this one. We don't like that. So we're going to get a judge to try to either make you or force the taxpayers to buy back the land at fair value. Isn't that something else? It's the mindset of people who don't believe the rules apply to them. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Okay. Welcome to the show. I want to make a point here, just regarding the Fisk Properties LLC filing a lawsuit against the city over driveway permit rules. I have no idea if these rules, the city code that is preventing them from doing this, is reasonable or not. I don't have any idea. I mean, I recognize fully, particularly in Springfield, there are a lot of rules that are not in any way, shape, or form in the best interest of property rights or individual rights. I mean, obviously, you can look at what we're going through today. So that's not what this is about. This isn't about reasonable codes that are put in place and somebody in a position of power, elitism, if you will, not wanting those rules to apply. It's the fact that the rules are there and everyone else is supposed to abide by them. But, you know, again, elites thinking that they should not apply to them. It's similar to what you see with these, and they're always Democrats, virtually. I mean, I don't know that I've seen an instance of a Republican demanding lockdowns or adherence to COVID rules and then getting caught violating them. I mean, it's constantly. I told you about the Denver mayor. While he was boarding the plane or sitting on, it was 30 minutes before takeoff to go visit family in somewhere, I don't recall where, not Denver. And he's telling people not to travel. And when he gets caught, it's always a say, well, I'm sorry, you got to understand. You know, no one else just gets to say I'm sorry and gets let off the hook. Then you've got it some county in California. I don't think maybe I do have the story here. Let's see. No, I think I had grabbed it yesterday. It was some Los Angeles County, but it was some county official out in California who had voted for a new shutdown that would apply to restaurants, saying that, you know, have to do it because you're putting the lives of these servers in danger. You're putting the lives of these hosts and hostesses in danger. You're putting the lives of these restaurant workers in danger. And then, like, the next day, she's out eating at one of the restaurants. Now, some of her defenders were saying, well, the rules didn't kick in for a couple of days. But if they're arguing that going out is putting people's lives in danger, and then you do it, So it isn't about whether the rule is reasonable or unreasonable. It is the expectation that people, like everyone else, needs to abide by these rules, the 99.99% of us, while the elites feel as if they don't have to. Let's go to Sarah in Springfield. Sarah, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning. We had personal experience with trying to put in a second driveway.
Mm.
The two have to connect. Your main driveway has to connect to the second one, or else you have to go before a board and present your case, and then they charge you, I think it was going to be like $4,000 or something, just to have the permission to do it. And my husband decided, he had a four-wheel drive truck, he just jumped the curb.
Right. Well, and it sounds like there are, or according, there's a news leader article on this saying that whomever had utilized that land before, they just sort of used the ground as the driveway, I guess. But, you know, they don't want to do that. And this is just the thing. So the average person, they don't have necessarily the means and the resources to fight this stuff. Now, the Fisks, they have lots of money, and so they're able to. And again, it may be the most unreasonable rule that they're facing as well. But it's just, once again, you know, people like you, average folks that have these situations, you're just expected to abide by it, and that's the end of the story. And that's
absolutely,
and that's what is so frustrating to people. I hear it all the time. I'm glad that he had four wheel drive at least, so he was able to jump that curb. Sarah, thanks for calling in this morning. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Enjoy the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It frustrates me to know it, but I know it frustrates you too. And listen, I'm not even, yeah, they have every right to go through the courts in order to challenge these things, just like everyone else does. But there's in the back of my mind, there's this thought that they may have known that the city code would have prevented this, but thought, or the Fisks. Jan's on the city council. You know, I mean, we're part of the elites. The rules are not meant for people like us. The rules are meant for people who don't know any better, so we have to craft these rules for them. But, we're going to take care of our land. We're not going to abuse the city, you know. So it's not going to, when it comes down to it, we'll be able to do this. And then somewhere along the lines, there was a roadblock, and they're like, well, I find it hard to believe that when they bought the land, they planned to build a home, and there was no driveway there, that it either whomever was selling them the land or that, I mean, these aren't dumb people. We're talking about the folks here, ultimately, who have Fisk properties. These are people who understand the complexities, or that there are complexities to laws and so forth, and I could be way wrong on this. But I just find it very hard to believe if you're planning on building a home there, you wouldn't at least hire someone to, hey, will you make sure that there aren't any city ordinances that are going to prevent us from having a home here? I find that hard to believe. Or they'd just be like, oh, yeah, sure. Nope, you know, we'll just gamble on this. And the irksome part of it is when my mind, cynical, yes, tells me that they knew, they just thought, they'd be able to do it anyway. And so the taxpayers should have to pay, or a judge should say they don't have to abide by these rules. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got traffic news. And then I want to talk about this Washington Post story. You may have seen it. It's gone viral. It's a big viral piece for people who are on the side of dealing with COVID. If everyone just wears a mask, it'll go away. People who aren't wearing a mask think it's a hoax and are responsible for people dying everywhere. And there's this there's a story around this viral photo of a doctor comforting an elderly COVID-19 patient. Now, I'm not surprised, the piece completely and totally misses the actual point. That coming up, Queen City Motors talk and text line is 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Jim and Branson, hold on just a sec. We will get to you after Nathaniel Pauly updates us on the latest news.
Homeless families needing a place to escape the cold can go to the Old Rancho Motel at Kearney and Glenstone in Springfield. It's been turned into a temporary winter shelter. Catholic Charities of Southern Missouri say the shelter has been open for about 2 weeks. Six families are staying there with room for more. The shelter is being paid for with CARES Act funding. The state health department is holding another community COVID-19 testing event in Springfield. It's the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds on Thursday from 9 to 7 and Friday from 7 to 4. Testing is free. You can sign up at KSGF.com. And that's latest news.
KTTS, first alert forecast. Slight chance of showers this evening. High of 52. Showers likely overnight with a low of 34. Chance of rain and snow before 8 a.m. tomorrow with a high of 40, and then partly sunny Friday with a high of 45. Current temp, 32 and clear. Queen City Motors, talk and text line, 447-KSGF to Branson. Jim, welcome.
Well, I appreciate it. Always a good show. And
thank you.
Always interesting points.
Thank you very much.
One of the things that comes to mind is that this is not a unique case. And as sad as it is and can be from time to time, these are situations that happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You've got hardworking individuals out there barely able to stay afloat, but there's no government shutdown. There's no worries about these elected officials being able to make their payments. But at the same time, you have these elitists that from time to time don't necessarily throw a wrench into the machinery, but they just believe that they can alter the machinery to fit their design. And what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. What's right is the law and the restrictions that are put in place for a reason. And if there are no restrictions, that is, there are no obeyance of the law, what is the use of the law?
The difficulty is not even the right word to use. The sin of it, maybe, is when you are just an average citizen or a business owner, and the government, someone in government decides. I mean, we see it with these lockdowns all the time. And this is what I think you should do. You tend to be powerless if government says it. This is one of the reasons that free markets are best. And our system as a republic was actually set up to prevent this from happening, where government had ultimate authority over you. And that is where we are. And part of the reason is it's not because every single person in government is a bad, evil individual, but because when you have power, it becomes very, very easy to justify certain things. Let's just look in the private sector, for example. Private sector, let's say that, work at a restaurant, okay? I've worked at a restaurant before. Probably a lot of you have worked at restaurants before. And, there's an extra something that gets made, or at the end of the night, maybe it's a pizza place, and there's an extra pizza made, I'm going to just take it home. Because it's there and it's convenient. It's not really anything that, is being taken from anyone. You happen to be an individual that, because of your unique position, have the opportunity to get a free pizza. It's just going to get thrown away anyway. So that makes sense, right? I mean, we can understand that. Here at the station, let's say that you've got, we've done ticket giveaways, and they're going to expire soon. And this has happened, and people don't pick them up or something. It's like, hey, who wants these free tickets? It's not going to hurt anybody. They're just going to go to waste otherwise. So in the private world, all right, that's perfectly fine. But then what happens is people, when they're in government, when they do that sort of thing, they are getting around rules that the rest of us aren't able to. When they you know, just look the other way. And they're thinking, well, it's not going to hurt anyone. So let's say, for example, just hypothetically, you know, you buy some land and you want to build a driveway, but the city code says based on that land, you cannot build a driveway. And you think, well, it's not going to hurt anybody for me to do it. Heck, I've talked to the neighbors around. They don't care. In fact, they think it'll look nice. But the problem is, though, that the system is put in place that doesn't give allowance to other people to just say, oh, well, you know, we're not going to worry about it. And this is what becomes difficult for people in government to understand. The rules aren't even necessarily set up to prevent the bad conniving people from doing bad conniving things, but it is also set up to make sure that well-intended people stay on track. So, for example, having a component in the city charter that says if you are on the city council, you cannot have, due to contracts, any direct or indirect financial benefit. Now, that is the sort of thing that could prevent an evildoer from taking advantage of the situation. But you could also have someone, let's say a council member, and there's some sort of business interest when it comes to transportation, and you think, well, this isn't meant for me. And the city's like, this isn't any big deal. I mean, hey, you've got the infrastructure of this business in order to provide us at a cost. So it's actually going to save people money and, you know, everybody wins all around. So you don't have any ill intention there at all. Well, what happens, though, is the dismissal of the rules because, well, I'm a good guy. Instead of recognizing, no, these rules are just to make sure that we are not to take advantage of this, or that even if we're not meaning to take advantage of the system. And so they end up thinking that, and this is how you will have even good people start taking advantage of a system. And like I was making the point earlier, in the private sector, if you own a restaurant and you want to take advantage of having a restaurant by, you know, making an extra pizza at the end of the night, eating it, that's your deal. You're not denying anyone. You're not holding somebody to different rules. That's yours. All right. You own that. But when you are a person in government doing it, you are taking advantage of the people that you're supposed to be working for. And unfortunately, and we see it all over the country, COVID has really, really, truly shown a spotlight on this. I mean, talk about Mayor Beetlejuice of Chicago. Talk about Cuomo. Talk about the mayor of Denver. The governor of New Mexico with that whole jewelry fiasco. Gavin Newsom. You could just go down the list of Democrats that have called for, not just called for rules to be placed on other people, but essentially calling people who don't want to follow those rules murderers, but then they go out and do it themselves. But, and this is the unfortunate part of it, they get reelected. And these are, what it is about Democrat voters, because these are always in areas that vote Democrat, so you've got a disproportionate number of Democrat voters. What it is about Democrat citizens that are fine with people in power putting rules on them, insulting them if they don't want to follow the rules, but then they openly flaunt the rules themselves and continue to say, yep, that's the sort of leadership I want. I don't understand that. And maybe that's just my instinct as, I don't know, a person. My instinct is to push back against that. If somebody is given this authority over me and they tell me I have to follow certain rules, but they say, well, I don't have to. Next time around, whenever it comes time for me to vote, I don't care what party you are. I'm not going to vote for you. Not just because you're a hypocrite, but because you think that you have some sort of dominion over me. You think that you have been given the power to rule me. And I don't agree with that, but there's this this internal thing for Democrats in particular that they almost seem to embrace it. And so that's, you know, then that breeds it. You and I, we look at these people and say, how can they be so blatant about it? Well, in all honesty, they probably think, why not? Why shouldn't I? People are going to whine about it a little bit and complain about it a little bit, but I'll still get reelected. A majority of people, when they have the decision to choose between me, somebody who does this, versus somebody else, they're going to choose me again anyway. And essentially, that's approval. We ultimately are responsible for our elected representatives, just as an employer is responsible for their employees ultimately. And if you have employees that are bad players, employees that are dishonest, employees that treat customers like crap, employees that think the rules don't abide by them, but then come review time, you give them aces and give them a bonus and say, we're going to hire you for another year, why would they change? Jim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. A couple text messages on the Queen City Motors talk and text line. Hey, Nick. I work for one of the local asphalt companies, and we have to design special asphalt mixes just to meet the City of Springfield specs, because they've taken it upon themselves to create their own specs that are above and beyond what even MoDOT requires. So in doing so, the people of Springfield have to pay even more for their local roads because we add more to our bids to allow for the hassle of asphalting to meet their goofy specs. Another saying, perhaps the reason Democrats keep voting for reps who have an entitlement mentality is because they trust their representatives more. That would also explain why they are okay paying more taxes, whereas Republicans are distrustful of government, so they are more skeptical and prefer to give to charities instead of paying more taxes. The texting, by the way, is now easier with the new KSGF app. Once you open the app, there is a button that you just hit, and you can either call from there or text from there. That way you don't have to enter in 447-KSGF, or if you haven't your contacts, pull it up that way. We wanted to make that as easy as possible. So if you haven't downloaded that app yet, I recommend you do so. And then, of course, you can stream from your phone anytime, anywhere that you have a signal anyhow. And you can get those in your marketplace or go to KSGF.com and get them there as well. There's a story in the Washington Post. Heartbreaking photo shows PPE-clad doctor comforting lonely, elderly COVID-19 patient. And Paulina Villegas writes, an elderly man in a hospital gown buried his head in the arms of a doctor who, fully clad in protective equipment, hugged and consoled the patient. The doctor's fixed, disturbed glaze can be seen through the plastic face shield. The frail patient battling COVID-19 had told Joseph Veron, chief of staff at the United Memorial Medical Center in Houston, quote, I want to be with my wife. Veron had found the man out of his hospital bed crying and seeking help. The emotional moment was captured on Thanksgiving Day by photographer Go Nakamura, who was in the COVID ward documenting the pandemic for Getty Images. The image circulated widely online over the weekend after it was posted on Facebook, resonating with the pain and struggle of millions of Americans, patients, and health workers alike as the country reels from soaring coronavirus infections and hospitalizations. Nakamura wrote on Facebook, I'm grateful to witness a wonderful moment, and I thank all of the medical staff for their hard work, even during this holiday season. The post has since been shared hundreds of times and prompted heartfelt reactions from users on social media. Nakamura telling the Washington Post, I'm so glad the photo went viral because people are talking about what is really happening inside hospitals. I believe the photo can be the door to certain people so they can start to realize what is going on and what the reality is in the world, referring to the skepticism about the severity of the coronavirus and the extent of the crisis that persists among many Americans. And then it goes on to talk about how the photographer visited the medical center more than 20 times, so forth and so forth and so forth. Now, it is amazing to me Well, it's not amazing to me. It's interesting to me. I just find these things interesting. How people can live in two different worlds. So you have this photographer that is given access to these wards, taking pictures, and sees this. And it's a horribly sad picture. But to some people, what they see, to them, the sin here is the fact that there are people out there not wearing masks. And that there are people out there that just don't understand the severity of COVID. While other people, including me, see a system that has been set up to deal with this that is so absolutely cold-hearted and lacking in any sort of humanity, it will allow photographers to come in and take pictures of this, but it will not let the wife of an elderly patient come in, despite the fact that he is breaking down from depression and isolation, crying and begging to see her. Explain to me that system. It is almost to the level of infuriating for me. I brought you, there were stories, I think it was on Monday, about elderly people in particular who are killing themselves because they cannot take the isolation any longer. Killing themselves because bureaucrats decide that in order to help their quality of life, we have to prevent them from seeing family members. And so they sink into a depression. They can't take it anymore. What sort of system will deny elderly people who are facing death from seeing their loved ones, from being with their loved ones, but will allow photographers to come in and take photos of it in order to shame people who don't understand how serious COVID is? That is sick. That is the point here. And it'll come as no surprise, the Washington Post never even mentions the fact that this photographer is allowed in there. I'm sure, well, the photographer was this many feet away and so forth. They won't even allow family members in to visually see through glass in some of these instances. I mean, what I believe that if we do at some point get back to a culture that is compassionate about humanity, we will look back on how we dealt in particular with elderly people when it comes to COVID in absolute disgust and shame. We will look back and say, what sort of people were in charge that would take people in their dying moments and say, nah, sorry, we're not going to let you see your family. And then have photographers come in, take pictures of it so they can go viral, so that they can shame people who don't get it when it comes to COVID. I mean, is it really any worse than what Cuomo did, taking infected COVID patients out of hospitals and putting them into nursing homes, killing thousands upon thousands? These rules that are set up. And I think that there's a tunnel vision at play here. I'm not saying that every person who does this is some, you know, puts these rules in place, some evil psychopath that gets off on watching elderly people literally have their hearts break and die in despair. But some people get such tunnel vision, and they're just so obsessed with these rules, the bureaucratic rules, and the we got to do this, we got to do that. They lose all humanity. Telling people, particularly those, and the elderly, I mean, if they have COVID, they are the most vulnerable. But anyone who has COVID and is potentially going to die, that you have to do it alone, and your family is never going to get to see you again, there is no humanity in that at all. And this idea that, well, sorry, you just have to go through it for the greater good, that's sick and it's wrong. It's immoral and it lacks humanity. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Facebook Live video feed. You can also see that at KSGF.com. Hey to Allers, one of my sisters, her husband Clint, Christopher Long in Florida, just saw your book at ABC Books yesterday, and Chris in Pennsylvania. We've got D. Wampler coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.